like you to turn to Psalm 34. We're going to just read that psalm, and just I'm going to make a few comments on Psalm 34. So if you would take your Bibles, just look at the first verse right now. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is a psalm that I feel like is appropriate for this occasion, because he was in one of the lowest parts of his life when he said these words. And actually, he was acting insane when he did it. And there are times when we say things and do things that to other people seem like you are crazy. Why are you praising God right now? You've got every reason not to. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. So if you've got a heart of praise and you're praising him by faith, you will begin to pull people in to that praise zone around you. You create an atmosphere of praise so that when you're praising God and people are going, why? You're crazy. Why are you praising God right now? People looking at you, but then they get sucked into that zone and they begin to start going, wow, I feel the joy of the Lord and I've got no earthly reason to feel this way. Amen. I sought the Lord and he heard me. He answered me, actually, and delivered me from all my fears. And those who look to him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps like an army around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. We experience his goodness in such a different taste from something that we've tasted before. Amen. You ever try some food? I'm the kind of person that will try just about anything to eat. But it doesn't mean I'm going to eat it again once I've tasted it. I mean, I had snake in China. I'll never forget it. Cooked right at my table. They brought it out alive and showed it to me. And they said, we're going to cook it just for you. Which one do you want? I said, I'll take that one. Yeah, exactly. I've had some weird stuff, but let me tell you, it doesn't mean you want to eat it again, but don't ask me, you know what I'm going to say if you ask me what it tasted like. Chicken. It did. It tastes like chicken. It says that those that fear him have no lack, and the young lions suffer want or hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that way you know what to do. Wisdom is knowing what to do and how to do it, right? What man is there who desires life and loves many days and he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace, pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous and his ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. So the afflictions are coming. They're coming. You've had some already, and there's going to be some more. But God will deliver you from them all. He keeps all his bones, and not one of them is broken. Not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. And I want to make a comment about your bones. Many are the afflictions, but God's not going to allow your bones to be broken. This scripture was quoted by the Apostle John in John 19. when Jesus was on the cross and his nails were pierced in his hands and his feet. The nails went in and kept him on the cross. And the religious hypocrites of the day did not want a man on the cross to be seen on their holy Sabbath day. And yet we, as Christians, what do we like to see? We like to see the cross on our best day of the week. And certain artists, and you go to certain churches, and you'll see Jesus up on the cross very graphically, realistically. Because we celebrate the crucified one on our holy day. We celebrate the suffering of Jesus because we know what happens later. And that scripture right here, "not one of his bones will be broken," was quoted as the last scripture, really, that was fulfilled when Jesus was on the cross. The last one, "not one of his bones were broken," because they said, "whoa, we can't have this on our high and holy day. We can't have some ugly body on the cross. We can't have all that ugliness. We can't have all that suffering and pain and, you know, it's not a pretty sight." And so they went to break their bones, every one of them, so that they can have their perfect little setting on their high and holy day. And they went to they broke the bones of the first one and maybe the second one. But when they came to Jesus, he was already dead. Already dead. And I believe the lesson we have to learn is from this is that God looks out for us when we can't look out for us. God said in his word that he was going to protect the bones of Jesus, and he did it. And the way that he did it was that he was already dead. And it makes me think of a very good scripture that I would like us to remember, because we're on Route 220, and I like my 220 scriptures, okay? So I'm going to give you a 220 scripture that maybe you will recognize and that you would like to remember if you don't know it. Galatians 2:20. "I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm alive." But Christ, it's not me that's living right now. It's Christ living in me. I've got a new source of life. Because I've already died. And because I've already died, my bones are not going to be broken. Because I'm already dead, it says, "I was crucified with Christ." Paul said it. Paul said it with his pen in his hand. And he said, "I was dead already. Therefore, my bones aren't broken. I was dead. Therefore, all they wanted to do is check to see if I was really dead." So what did they do? And John, well, let's finish this scripture here. "I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I'm living now in this mortal body called the flesh, what is it? I live by faith and not by sight. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." How about that for a 220 scripture? That's a pretty good one, isn't it? Can you live your life on that? I sure can. I'm glad I was dead already. And since Jesus was dead already, his bones were not broken. And they did one thing that I thought was really interesting. They pierced him. And what came out? One just bled. It was blood and water. You know the first scripture that a Jewish person learns? The kids are taught from school. They're taught Leviticus first. I would have never guessed that. But the first thing you learn in the book of Leviticus There are two things you got to have if to be holy, to come to God and worship in his temple. Two things you got to have. You can't come to God without it. Blood and water. The blood gets you in the door, and then the water washes you up once you get there, and then you're okay to come to God. And then it says in John 19, it says that they bore witness to it. People saw it. There's a witness that comes from the blood and water that now has made you close, to bring you able, make you holy enough to come to God and have fellowship at his table. Amen? Amen. God's got some blood and water that's going to come out of you.
Amen.
So when you suffer, actually, the blood and water is coming out of you. We heard it today. We were washed by the blood and the water that was coming out of her mouth. Because
yes.
She was pierced, but her bones weren't broken. She may have been suffering, but her bones are strong. And those bones are like the hope that we have that someday God's going to put them skeleton bones together. He's going to put flesh on them, and he's going to breathe life into them, and they're going to become a mighty army.
Yes.
Amen? Amen.
Yes.
So I want you to just, I don't know, I want you to declare it somehow. I may have been pierced, but my bones are not broken.
Amen.
We've got some people right now that are grieving over loss. We've grieved over loss, and it hits you. It hits you. But what God wants to come out of you will actually bear witness and bring cleansing and holiness to those around you. I believe that Roman soldier that saw Jesus on the cross and saw that blood of water come out, I believe he had faith in the Son of God the moment he saw it. I believe it. Amen? So take the hand of the person next to you in your immediate family. Amen? And Lord, we thank you that you look after our bones. We thank you, Lord, that though we have been pierced, you have said not one of your bones would be broken. And by this hope and by this faith, we see Jesus. We have salvation. Father, we pray that the blood and the water that will come out of us, just like we were crucified with Christ, so blood and water is coming out of us, and let it be a witness, a cleansing witness to those around us. Yeah, I've been pierced, but my bones aren't broken. Here's some blood and water to bring you near to God. Father, we ask you, Lord, send us to the people that need to hear this word and that need to be brought near to Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're good. Man, let's just begin to praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Take the belt of truth. Take the belt of truth and the righteous breastplate. Gospel shoes are ready. Take the shield of